Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. You can follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. Follow me on Twitter at TheClubhouseKB. Again, if you're looking for Danny Noakes, he is over at Thompson Field getting set for the call of Virginia Tech and UVA men's soccer game tonight. Thompson Field, the 21st-ranked Cavaliers, come in to face the men's Hokie soccer team, 5-5-3 on the year. So look for Danny over on ESPN3 tonight for the call of that game. All right, again, we talked to David Cutcliffe yesterday. He, as you would expect, effusive praise of Frank Beamer and the Virginia Tech program. Kept talking about how the Hokies program has been was a class of the ACC for many, many years, and that much like Ruffin McNeil told me several weeks back, he modeled his program after Virginia Tech and all those nice things. Those guys are thick as thieves. David Cutcliffe's a great person. You would expect for him to say all sorts of nice things about Virginia Tech and its team and its offense and its defense, but the fact of the matter is, his team stands a pretty daggone good shot to win that game tomorrow. They are the ranked team, and Virginia Tech is the unranked team. Duke is the 23rd ranked team in the country, according to the AP poll. But Vegas likes Virginia Tech, and the game opened as Hokies as a 6-point favorite. Lines dropped to about 2.5. A lot of questions still to be answered about Duke's offense. I've not been impressed with Thomas Cirque, their quarterback. They squeaked out a 9-7 win over Boston College a couple of weeks ago. They beat up on Army, a really bad football team, 44-3 last week. I think Virginia Tech's defense should contain that Duke offense tomorrow, but should's a pretty strong word when you're talking about this Virginia Tech team these days.
Yeah, I think so, too. You're exactly right about that. And this is like the Twilight Zone, man. I don't know if you've got that music on your computer or not.
I think I do, but I'd play it if I did.
For the second straight year, Virginia Tech is an unranked team with a losing record playing a one-loss nationally ranked Duke team. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody saw that happening once, much less 2 years in a row.
Doubt it.
David Cutcliffe's done a masterful job there. Blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows it. But let's deal with the facts of this Duke team. All right, they've got an offense that isn't very good. They don't have any explosive receivers at all on the outside, and then they don't have a great quarterback either. I really like Virginia Tech's defensive matchup in this game. I feel like they can lock down those Duke receivers. I don't think Thomas Cirque can beat them.
There's no Jamison Crowder out there.
There's no Jamison Crowder out there. There's no Brad Kaya or those Miami receivers out there either. I mean, this is a pretty good matchup for the Virginia. It's actually a very good matchup for the Virginia Tech defense. It's the best matchup they've had in weeks. Probably maybe since the Purdue game, and all where Purdue just didn't have any talent.
Right.
So I think this is a great matchup for the Tech defense. But I think Duke knows that too. I mean, they got smart players and they got smart coaches. I don't think Duke is going to do anything extreme. I think they're going to play it very, very conservatively and try to avoid turnovers, which, you know, to Cirque's credit, he's avoided turnovers. I think he's only got 3 picks on the year.
Mm-hmm. And that's a hallmark of David Cutcliffe's
team.
They don't turn over the football, and they're even though they weren't to start the season, they've been historically under him really good on special teams,
right.
And the defense is the strength of the team this year.
Absolutely. So, you know, they're going to sit back most likely and say, we're going to play this thing conservatively. Virginia Tech's done a pretty good job beating themselves over the last three and a half years. So, and they're bringing Michael Brewer back off the shelf. He's probably pretty rusty. So, you know, let's sit back and see if we can get a turnover or two, win the field position game, and then strike and win a low-scoring close game.
Yeah, I think Thomas Cirque and that Duke offense are 67th in the country in passing offense at this point in the season. They're not typically going to beat you through the air a lot.
Yeah.
They haven't, at least throughout this season. And, you know, running the football, not bad, but, you know, you haven't not anything that's going to pop off the page at you. They were held to 10 points by a pretty good Northwestern team, as we now know, but they haven't played much in the way of stiff competition outside of that. This will be, I don't know how good Northwestern's defense honestly is compared to Virginia Tech's. I haven't watched enough Wildcat football to know that, but I would tend to believe that this will be maybe the best defense they've seen all season. Maybe.
It might even be the best offense they've seen all season.
Could
as
be,
crazy
honestly.
As that sounds.
Yeah, because you mentioned Georgia Tech during the break.
Yeah, and I think they're 42nd in offensive efficiency, but they're very much a run team.
Right.
I think Virginia Tech will bring a little more balance than Duke's seen. And the rest of Duke's opponents all rank like 90th or worse in offensive efficiency. So that's just terrible. I think 3 of them have been below number 100. I mean, that's just terrible competition. I think their defense is really smart, really good, but their numbers are propped up by the lack of talent amongst the teams that they've played. Michael Brewer said it best earlier this week. He said, what makes Duke's defense so good is that they have a lot of smart players on defense. You got to be smart to get into Duke,
right.
Even as a football player. You got to be smarter than other football players to get into Duke. So they can align in so many different formations, so many different fronts, so many different blitz packages, so many different coverages, and their players are able to mentally grasp all that and run all that efficiently. And that makes them a dangerous defense. It makes them hard to game plan for because they can, it can be 12 straight plays and then give you 12 different coverages and fronts and things like that because their players are so smart and they can retain so much information in their heads. And that's what makes Duke really hard to prepare for, in my opinion.
They've also lost a couple of players for this weekend's game. They lost Kelby Brown again preseason, who I think tore another ACL.
Poor guy. He's a really good player.
He really is. He's a very, very good player. I'm scrolling here to see some of the other defensive or injuries they've taken over the last day or two. I think Laura Keeley, who covers the Blue Devils full-time, was tweeting about this. Here we go. They lost their best defensive end, too. Kyler Brown with a knee injury. He won't play tomorrow. Neither will wide receiver Chris Taylor. So, you know, they're banged up, beaten up. They're going to be playing some second-string guys tomorrow, too. Specifically, though, on that defense, it's Jeremy Cash.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The story. That guy, the transfer from Ohio State, he's been really good the past 2 years. I don't know if he'll be the ACC's defensive player of the year, but he's making a pretty strong case for it. You got to find Jeremy Cash on the field if you're Michael Brewer.
If I could pick any defensive player on the ACC in the ACC to add to Virginia Tech's team, it would be Jeremy Cash. He basically plays that whip position. How Virginia Tech used to play their whip linebacker.
Well, they call him a strike safety.
I think is what they call him.
Which works well for that guy.
It works well for that guy because he'll strike you. And he's always on the wide side of the field. You know, if there's no slot receiver, he's lined up on the edge like an outside linebacker. If there's a slot receiver, he's a defensive back. I mean, basically, it's the old Virginia Tech whip position. And he's a great player in space. He can blitz. He can cover. I mean, just everything you want. He's probably a strong safety as far as the NFL goes, but I mean, Duke's played six games. He's already got like 11 or 12 tackles for loss. So if he's on pace to get over 20 tackles for loss as a guy who plays a hybrid safety outside linebacker position, I mean, that's pretty impressive. And when I watched their game against Georgia Tech, they were using him exactly like how Bud Foster used Kyle Fuller against the Yellow Jackets a couple years ago. And you got to be a pretty darn good, versatile player to be used in that role.
It's a good Duke defense. I think they're fourth in the country in total defense, which, as we mentioned earlier, most really heady college football writers and people like that are saying, you know, you shouldn't use that or yards per play or whatever it was. Yards per game is a great indicator of what an offense or a defense is. Matter of fact, I think it was Baylor's assistant AD who was tweeting about that again yesterday. So the traditional numbers aside, you look at some of the more advanced metrics, they're also really efficient, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They are really efficient. They don't give up big plays. Really, they haven't. No offense has been able to do anything on them this year. I don't think anybody's gained over 300 yards. I think George Tech maybe had like 326 yards or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, they're basically going out there and destroying people. Virginia Tech will. Virginia Tech will put more playmakers on the field than they've seen this year. I'll put it that way. They'll put Isaiah Ford out there. They'll put Bucky Hodges out there, Trayvon McMillan out there. And Duke has not had to deal with an offense that has three guys that can hit you with a big play at once. I mean, you look, they played Boston College. Boston College has nothing on offense. Georgia Tech is a one-man show right now, pretty much, and just one of the most disappointing teams in the country. And who else they played? North Carolina Central, mm-hmm. Tulane, and Army. Northwestern's not exactly lighting the world on fire as far as their offense goes.
I'll turn this around real quick because we got limited time here. I asked David Cutcliffe this yesterday, and of course he's a very humble, modest guy. He won't answer the question the way that I wanted to, but I didn't expect it. everybody's been waiting for one of these academic, prestigious academic schools, you know, in the ACC or somewhere else east of the Mississippi to make its stamp as the Stanford of the East. And I know they haven't reached the same heights at Stanford or as Stanford has, but if there's a team right now that's the Stanford of the East, it's this one, right?
It has to be. I'm certainly not Vanderbilt right now. And what are your other options?
I know UVA has its sights set on eventually being that, and you know, they have the academic profile to do that,
right.
Should they ever turn the football program around. You talked about Vanderbilt under James Franklin. There was a nice little run there, but who else would it be? It's got to be Duke, right?
It's got to be.
They've got to accomplish some more, but I think this is the team you look at and say, okay, if there's a Stanford of the East, it's this team.
Yeah, I think so too, and they've done it the right way. I mean, I think Stanford, on the whole, has better athletes and better players, more talented players, because their facilities are so much better than
right.
Duke's. And that's the next step for Duke, is that they've really got to improve their facilities. They got to improve their fan support. My gosh, I felt so bad for them during those two games against ranked teams when they played Northwestern and Georgia Tech back to back, and there was like 20,000 people in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a team that has one loss, and on the verge of the top 25, and you can't even fill up your stadium but halfway for top 20 teams. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where Virginia Tech's fan base is better than Duke's. Now, Duke is obviously a basketball school, but when Virginia Tech had a good basketball team, they filled up Castle.
Oh, no doubt.
And now Duke has a good football team, and they can't fill up their stadium.
It has been alarming how empty that stadium has been at times. Like that, I'll never forget that scene for that Northwestern game. You got a top 15 opponent coming in, top 20 opponent coming in, and I'm not kidding you. That place was at best 40% full.
Sure.
I couldn't believe it. On a beautiful day in Durham, it was shocking. I could not. All those stadium renovations and all this, the new pub and PR about how they're going to make this a football school and stuff like that. I think they can. They have the resources to do it. But
you're only as good as your fan base when it comes down to it. I mean, at some point, if you donated money for that, and you look around at a game like that, and you're like, good Lord, what did I give all this money for?
Yeah.
I just bought all those seats over there, those new seats that are sitting right there, those luxury boxes, and nobody's sitting in them because they don't care. So what did I give my money to Duke for?
Yeah. To steal from Bill Roth, our man who's now at UCLA, it's the aluminum out. It's not blackout, orange out, orange effect, maroon effect. It's the aluminum effect. That's what they've been dealing with. And I hate it because I love David Cutcliffe.
I really
he's
do, too.
Done
yeah.
a tremendous job down there. Real quick, got about 90 seconds left. I hate to shove this toward the end of a segment here, but basketball's coming soon. And all the talk this week has been about Louisville's program. We don't talk a whole lot of Louisville on this show, as is understandable, but they're in a world of mess right now. And we just got word from an official release from the University of Louisville that next week's ACC Operation Basketball Media Day, Rick Pitino's not going. He's not showing
up.
They're going to send three players, but they're not going to send the head coach, Rick Pitino. those three players, I feel for them. They're going to have a long day.
I'm not even sure if he's going to have a staff in place at the start of the season. They already had one of their assistant coaches take a leave of absence or whatever. And there's rumors surrounding Kevin Keats, a former Hargrave coach that was on that staff, that he was involved in that somehow.
Right.
I think Patino's too smart to let the paper trail get back to him. But, I mean, if this is ever a thing where if you're going to blame a coach, he hired these guys, right? Even if he knew nothing, which I don't think is true.
No, David Teal asked me on Tuesday, when I asked him this question, he said, Kyle, what's worse, knowing or not knowing?
Mm-hmm.
You're not managing 85 scholarship football players. You have 12 to 15 guys to take care of.
Absolutely. And you're hiring your own assistants. In basketball, you're really close with your assistants. Those are your guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your basketball family. I mean, you're supposed to be able to trust those guys. So that's a great way to put it. I think he should be fired, personally. I think the university should get slapped with lack of institutional control. The death penalty will never happen anymore in these days of modern television contracts, but they deserve a substantial punishment from the NCAA if all this stuff is true.
Well, and what I think, just to wrap it up here, what I would like to hear from Rick Pitino, who has been calling for his former graduate assistant, Andre McGee, who's been suspended from his new job, the University of Missouri, Kansas City, just urging this guy to come to speak out, to step forward and talk and give the information as if, this guy's responsible. You need to hear from him. Well, I kind of want to hear Rick Pitino say, well, okay, this reportedly went on from 2010 to 2013. Then you have to say, okay, well, then both Andre McGee and Katina Powell built my championship team.
Sure. Who made the call to McGee after he changed jobs and then he still arranged for the escort and a prostitute and a stripper to meet those recruits at the hotel after he changed jobs? So who from Kentucky called him and said, can you hook this up?
I don't know. All I know is get Katina Powell a championship ring. She deserves it.
No question.
She helped build that team. All right, buddy. We're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow at the game.
All right. Sounds good.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show here on a Friday. Make sure to tune in. Danny Noakes on the call tonight, ESPN3, as the Virginia Tech men's soccer team hosts number 21 UVA at Thompson Field. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.